We need the assistance more directly and more purposefully.
It's important to assume that every single patient you have contact with has the coronavirus.
We have to be cognizant. This is a very vulnerable population.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. Hope you're staying safe and sane, as they say, during the pandemic. Thanks for listening to the WAMC News Podcast. A New York State senator already battling cancer has tested positive for the coronavirus. Republican Jim Seward and his wife have both tested positive for COVID-19, according to Senate Minority Leader John Flanagan. Flanagan says Seward was last in Albany March 11th. Seward, the ranking member on the Finance Committee, has represented the 51st District since 1987. He's not seeking re-election as he battles bladder cancer. The White House Coronavirus Response Coordinator singled out two counties in the New York City suburbs as having the fastest growing number of cases. And the Rockland County Executive is asking for immediate state assistance. WAMC's Hudson Valley Bureau Chief Allison Dunn reports.
White House Coronavirus Response Coordinator Dr. Deborah Birx on Sunday.
Some of the fastest growing counties are not New York itself, New York City. When you look at it per 100,000, it's Rockland, it's Bergen. So, I mean, these are all of these places are people that have transited through cities.
She refers to Bergen County, New Jersey.
Having Dr. Deborah Birx, the head of the U.S. Coronavirus Task Force, point to our county as having a rate of infection higher than New York City is sobering. I want to assure all of you, as I have said many times before, the rate of case identification is not the rate of infection.
Republican Rockland County Executive Ed Day Monday issued a plea to New York Governor Andrew Cuomo.
Governor Cuomo, we are asking that you help flatten the curve here in Rockland and specifically in the areas that need your help most. I have enjoyed a good relationship with the governor. We've been on the phone with his staff on a regular basis, and we appreciate the assistance. But clearly, after getting national attention here in Rockland, we need the assistance more directly and more purposefully.
A State Department of Health spokesperson pointed to the governor's remarks over the weekend, during which he said current temporary hospital sites are part of his goal of having a 1,000-plus patient overflow facility in each New York City borough, as well as in Westchester, Rockland, Nassau, and Suffolk counties. As of Monday afternoon, the governor's office released statistics showing Rockland with 2,511 positive cases. Rockland County Health Commissioner Dr. Patricia Rupert says the numbers are growing quickly day to day, and the county has seen 18 COVID-19-related deaths so far. She says the majority of deaths were people over the age of 50 with pre-existing conditions. Again, day.
We need our residents to stay home, and we need additional resources and attention from New York State.
He adds,
Governor Cuomo has shown effective leadership throughout the situation, and we now need his help. It is time that aggressive action be taken as we head into the upcoming spring religious holidays of Easter and Passover. We will act in support of whatever decisions the governor and the New York State Department of Health make. But the situation we face here is one of urgency. Make no mistake about that. Rockland was originally included in the governor's plans for temporary hospitals, and we are asking that he revisit the plan as quickly as possible. We are nearing a point where local capacity could soon be overwhelmed. We need definitive action. Possibilities could include the Rockland County Community Fieldhouse, as is listed in our emergency plans.
Meantime, Rockland released a COVID-19 map available on the county's website that displays a breakdown of confirmed cases by zip code. The dashboard also breaks down cases by town, with Ramapo harboring more than 63% of the county's cases.
As you can see by the zip code breakdown of the confirmed cases, we have identified the areas where more action must be taken to help flatten that curve. 10952 and 10977 currently have the highest percentages in the county.
Those zip codes are in the Spring Valley and Muncie areas. Reporting from WAMC's Hudson Valley Bureau on the campus of Vassar College, I'm Hudson Valley Bureau Chief Allison Dunn.
Well, nurses at Berkshire Medical Center in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, are demanding that all frontline staff at the hospital be outfitted with N95 face masks. WAMC Berkshire Bureau Chief Josh Landes reports.
The Massachusetts Nurses Association released a statement Monday about the hospital's personal protective equipment policies amid the COVID-19 pandemic.
We're happy that there's been some improvements there, that all
staff will wear goggles or face shield to protect their eyes and a surgical mask to help reduce exposure from droplets in the air.
Mark Broder is a registered nurse at BMC, working in its intensive care unit, emergency department, critical care step-down unit, and recovery room. He says the nurses want every staffer at the hospital to receive N95 masks, the highest level personal protective equipment available against the virus, not just those who directly interact with COVID-19 positive patients.
Since a patient could have been exposed and shedding the virus without any symptoms, at this point, in order to reduce the spread, it's important to assume that every single patient you have contact with has the coronavirus in order just to flatten that curve and ensure that the spread is slowed down as much as possible so that all of our resources aren't overwhelmed at one time.
As of a couple of days ago, there had been 97 nurses quarantined for potential exposure to the virus.
Joe Markman is the Associate Director of Communications for the MNA, the state's largest nurses union.
More than half of those nurses do not work in units where there are COVID-19 patients or suspected COVID-19 patients. So what we know is that staff members are being exposed to the virus who don't care for those patients. So all staff members need that protection.
The union says 75 of the 97 nurses furloughed and instructed to self-quarantine by March 28th worked in units without access to N95 masks, which include the mother-baby unit, the surgical orthopedic unit, the emergency department, and more.
Berkshire Health Systems places the highest priority on the safety of our patients and staff, and we have instituted personal protective equipment usage policies that exceed the recommendations of the Centers for Disease Control and the Massachusetts Department of Public Health.
Berkshire Health Systems Director of Media Relations Michael Leary. The hospital says its current measures are sufficient and that it doesn't have enough N95 masks to provide to every staffer who comes in contact with a patient. It called the MNA's evaluation of its supplies, quote, considerably in error.
They claim Berkshire Health Systems would have a 28-day supply if all staff with any patient contact wore them. In fact, the burn rate would see us run out of N95 masks in nearly 2 weeks, with a highly uncertain ability to rebuild the stock and maintain that level of usage going forward.
Markman of the MNA says the nurses are calling for the masks to be used now, before what Governor Charlie Baker describes as a coming surge of coronavirus cases between April 7th and April 17th.
In 2 weeks, there'll be much more of a problem with the virus if today staff members are not protected.
He also took issue with the hospital citing new CDC guidelines.
Those CDC guidelines were weakened. They were loosened by the CDC because of the shortage of PPE. And as an organization, the MNA is saying that we should seek the higher standard that was previous to the epidemic and that is currently being put out by the World Health Organization, that N95 should be used by frontline staff and they should be discarded and a staff member should get a new N95 mask, among other guidelines.
As of Monday, the Massachusetts DPH reported more than 160 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in Berkshire County, with some 5,700 cases and 56 deaths statewide. Reporting from the WAMC News Berkshire Bureau at the Beacon Cinema, I'm Josh Landis.
Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker said Monday the federal government has agreed to send the state 1,000 ventilators, crucial equipment hospitals need as they prepare for a surge in patients.
With the recognition that we do, in fact, have a demand or a need for somewhere between 1,000 and 1,400 ventilators and getting an answer on that in less than 2 days, with an assumption that those will be here sometime by between now and the end of the first week in April, was a big step, a big positive step forward in the right direction.
The Republican had voiced frustration last week about dealing with the feds when it came to obtaining personal protective equipment for frontline healthcare workers. Baker says the state is continuing to chase PPE through a variety of alternative supply chains. He says a surge in COVID-19 cases in Massachusetts is expected between April 7th and April 17th. And the city of Springfield, Massachusetts, has put up large tents that will be used if the virus spreads to the city's homeless population. WAMC's Pioneer Valley Bureau Chief Paul Tuthill reports.
Over the weekend, 12,000 square feet of tents were erected in a parking lot across the street from the Friends of the Homeless shelter. By the end of the week, the tents will be stocked with medical supplies and equipment, toiletries, and food, and staffed around the clock. Mayor Dominic Sarno called it a precautionary and proactive measure to stay ahead of the spread of the virus. He said the plan was coordinated by city officials with the help from the local medical community and social service providers.
We have to be cognizant this is a very vulnerable population, and we have to make sure that, as we've done before, they're properly treated, and we're able to make sure that we're able to contain and isolate any situations that might arise.
As of Monday, no cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed in the city's homeless population. City crews erected the tents, which will have segregated space for testing, quarantine, and treatment. The tents will be fully functional once electric and sewer utilities are connected in the next few days, according to Patrick Sullivan, the city's director of buildings and grounds.
So we are going to be providing electrical heat with the so the option of being converted to air conditioning during this time. We are being able to tie into the existing sewer systems on site, water systems on site. Each tent will have hot water with sinks, refrigeration, washer and dryer systems in each of the tents. We will also have a commissary for a trailer for the staff that are working the site. They too will have their own separate bathroom, shower facilities, and be able to take the necessary breaks throughout their time.
Plans call for the facility to be staffed by at least two people at all times, according to Springfield's Commissioner of Health and Human Services, Helen Calton Harris.
We anticipate that one will be an RN, one will be a caretaker, and we will strive to make sure that we're having an MD who is doing rounds as well.
Dr. Robert Roos, Chief Medical Officer at Mercy Medical Center in Springfield, commended the city on its preparations for caring for the homeless during the pandemic.
We are grateful to be collaborating in this way, and we too are focusing efforts on those that are impacted by this, that are often marginalized from routine care, patients in nursing homes and homeless individuals.
Governor Charlie Baker last week said the state would reopen a former health care center to provide additional services to Boston's homeless population. Additionally, Suffolk University is converting a dormitory into a homeless shelter with 172 beds. Reporting from Springfield, this is Paul Tuthill at WAMC's Pioneer Valley News Bureau on the campus of Western New England University.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Remember to stay subscribed for the latest from the Northeast. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. Till next time, I'm Ian Pickus.